your presence now by an act of will. We are before you to hear you speak to our hearts, to have you teach us the way in which we should go. Thank you for being willing to share your life and your truth with us. Teach us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8 this morning. Let's go ahead and open up there. Please remember the reason that Matthew wrote his account of the life of Jesus. It was to show the nation of Israel that Jesus was the Messiah they had been waiting for so long. He wrote to introduce the Messiah to them. When Jesus delivered his Sermon on the Mount, he was describing what life in that kingdom would be like. When he came down off the mountain, he began to perform miracles designed to show the power of the king, that power rested in Jesus. The first three miracles were miracles of healing, and we're taking advantage of that to do a little mini-series on healing. But this is by no means the final word, the entire enchilada on healing. It's just a little mini-series. So far, what we've seen is that when it comes to healing, you have to take into account the willingness of Jesus to heal you. Secondly, you have to bring your own faith to the table. Because without faith, it's not possible to please God. Today we're going to add a third component. That component being the service that we render unto the Lord. We're in Matthew chapter 8. Let's begin in verse 14, where we have these words. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. There are many traditions of Christianity to choose from today. Some of those traditions have it that a man who serves God should not be married. They look back to the early apostles for an example. But here we find that Peter was married. He had a wife, and his mother-in-law lay sick. Jesus comes to heal her. Luke chapter 4 gives us some additional information. When Luke wrote, remember that he was a physician, so he gives us some medical data. This is from Luke 4, verse 38. Now Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, not a low fever or a medium grade fever. She was laid out like a fish. It was a high fever. And they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. I love that it says that he rebuked the fever. Jesus rebuked the storm and the waves. When he rebuked them, it means he spoke to them personally. Essentially, he told the storm to shut up. That's what the word there, rebuked, means. He spoke to the storm and said, be quiet, knock it off. Now he speaks to the spirit of infirmity that holds the mother of Peter's wife, and he rebukes that spirit. I love it when Jesus rebukes the things that hold us in bondage. Also in Luke, this time Luke chapter 13. It was another Sabbath day in another synagogue. There was a woman there who could not stand up straight. She was bent over. She had been that way for a very long time. They knew that Jesus loved to set people free from bondage, so they watched him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And of course, he was going to set this woman free. Luke 13. Jesus speaks these words in verse 15. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? Jesus saw that she had been bound by Satan for almost 20 years of her life, and he sets her free from the thing that binds her. Jesus now sets Peter's wife's mother free from the fever that has laid her low. Verse 15, it says, he touched her hand and the fever left her. Then she arose and served them. There are so many ways to touch a person. You can touch a person in a very impersonal way, perhaps on the shoulder or maybe on the upper arm. To touch someone on their hand is a very personal way to touch them. Jesus takes her by her hand and lifts her to her feet. Her first act, when she's set free from this fever, she begins to serve Jesus. This is that third component of healing that I wanted to talk with you about this morning. Why wouldn't Jesus heal his servant when there is much work to be done? The Bible gives us a couple of very strong indications that we have been given a certain number of tasks to perform in our lives and a certain number of days in which to accomplish that work. First of all, let me take you over to Acts chapter 22, verse number 10. Here Paul is speaking about the day he came to salvation on the road to Damascus. In describing that day, here's the words Paul uses. Verse number 10. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Paul had work that was appointed for him to do. I believe that when Jesus Christ heals your soul of the sin that holds you captive, that he gives you a certain work to perform, those are things that are appointed for you to do, a certain number of areas in which you are to serve. I believe you get a certain amount of time in which to accomplish this as well. Listen to this from the book of Job, chapter 14. Job 14:1, it says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I look at my wife when I read those words and she just laughs, because in general, I am full of trouble. But it's a different meaning. Thanks for laughing, though. That helped. Job 14, verse 5. Since man's days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. The indication that we have here is that we are given a certain number of days, a certain limit of time in which to work and accomplish the tasks to which we have been appointed. Let me offer you as an example King Hezekiah from the Old Testament. I'm reading to you from 2 Kings chapter 20. Here's verse number 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. The Lord sent word to Hezekiah that he should get his house in order, that he was near death. When Hezekiah received that news, he turned his face to the wall message you want to hear. But it was the word of the Lord to him that his time was almost up. He prays, and in return, the Lord grants him extra time. Here's verse 4. It happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city from the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Hezekiah cries and cries out to the Lord. The Lord grants him 15 more years. Do you think that was a good thing? Who would argue with 15 more years when you're close to death? And yet, during those 15 years, it's not recorded that Hezekiah did one noteworthy thing. However, he did two things that are noteworthy for causing problems for the children of Israel. He drew them away from worshiping God. And he had a son that was going to be a problem for Israel. Here's 2 Kings 20, verse number 12. It says this: "At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick." At this point in time, Babylon is a pipsqueak nation. Small, weak. Israel is powerful. The king of Babylon sends a present, says, "Hez, I hear you've been sick. Hope you're feeling better." Hezekiah invites his ambassadors in. Watch this in verse 13. Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Hezekiah sets in to bragging, takes them into the treasure house, shows them the gold and the silver. They take word back to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon never forgot how wealthy Judah was. Later, when Nebuchadnezzar was king, he lays siege to Jerusalem and steals all those treasures. Do you think it was a mistake to brag to the ambassadors from Babylon about how wealthy the kingdom of Judah was? That's one thing Hezekiah did with this extra 15 years. Here's the other thing. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 21. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Eventually, he died anyways. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. Do you guys recall Manasseh? One of the worst kings Judah ever had. He taught the children of Israel how to worship like the nations around them worshipped. He took them far from God's heart. It would have been better if Hezekiah had not had Manasseh as a son, better for Judah. But that's another thing he did with those extra 15 years. I believe that you're given certain tasks to perform when you're saved, certain service to perform for the Lord, and a certain number of days to accomplish that work in. When my time here is up, I plan on leaving voluntarily, gladly. Why would I want to stay? Who wants to graduate from 12th grade and then go back and repeat it again instead of going to college? Not me. When my work is done and my time is up, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Don't bring me back. If you do, I will come back and find you. I'm anxious for the next stage of my life. But apparently, Hezekiah could have gone home at that point in time and saved Judah a lot of problems. He chose to stay past his limit. God was gracious, heard his prayer, granted his request. Problems for the nation of Judah. Back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. What do you like to do when the day's over? I know I like to go home, get a bite to eat, put my feet up and relax. When the sun goes down, I like to think that my day is over. Not so for Jesus. Verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. The line formed at sundown. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. How many who were sick got healed? Every single one. This was one of the signs of the physical presence of Messiah with humankind. He heals everyone. He did it, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When Jesus healed them spiritually of the demons they had, it literally fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When the Messiah comes, the sign that he is the Messiah is that every single one is healed. One of the titles of Jesus is Servant of the Most High God. If you take a look at Acts chapter 4, verse 27, you'll see that. Here's Acts 4:27. Truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Jesus serves the Father. When I was saved, Jesus healed my soul of the sin that held me in bondage. At that time, I believe that he gave me certain tasks to perform. I do not worry about health or sickness as long as those tasks are unfinished. I am his servant. Anyone can claim that. Being a servant of the Father does not have anything to do with a pulpit or a keyboard or a microphone. Being a servant of the Father has to do with giving your life to him. Romans 12 tells us this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Simply to take your life and surrender it to Jesus, to allow him to be the Lord of your life instead of you, is an act of service to God. Those who make that decision to surrender to Jesus and to follow him become servants of the Most High God. And you know what you can expect to hear as a servant of God at the end of your life. Well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of your Lord. By an act of faith and obedience, we all become servants of the Most High God. This has nothing to do with your performance for God, because everything you ever receive in your life is a gift. You do not earn a single thing in the kingdom of heaven. You simply receive it by faith. This has been a short mini-series on healings as Jesus presents this. with the concept. The concept of healing contains at least three components, certainly more, but three, as Jesus reveals healing to us here. First, in order to receive the healings that God wants to bring into your life, you have to believe in the willingness of God. That was the first part of what Jesus taught. Receiving healing is not a matter of overcoming God's reluctance. It is a matter of laying hold of God's willingness to heal you. Secondly, you must bring to the table your own faith. Remember the words of Jesus to the centurion concerning his servant who lay sick and dying. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. If you're going to receive anything from God, you're going to have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently search him out. You have to place your faith in Jesus. It opens the door for him to do what he wants to do in your life. Now here's the third component. The more you are a servant of God, the more you can count on the fact that that opens the door for Jesus to bring every healing that he desires to bring into your life for you to receive. Do you want to be healed? I certainly do. I want my soul healed from the ravages of sin. I want my mind healed from the bad thinking that goes with being unsaved. I want my body to be healed. Count on that. Some people would say, Pastor, you've been praying for healing for almost a decade now. Don't quit asking. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you're in a game of football, the other team would love for you to give up before the fourth quarter is over. Do not give up. The game is not over yet. Let Jesus finish the chapter he is writing in your life. Don't give up before Jesus has finished working. To receive all the healings that Jesus wants to lay on you, you have to believe in how willing Jesus is to heal you. You have to bring your own faith to the table. And also, being a servant certainly opens the doors for you to receive good things from the Father's hands. On that final day, you will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You become a servant simply by laying your life down at the feet of Jesus. You may never stand behind a pulpit or have a microphone or have any kind of visible ministry. Servants are those who lay their lives down before their masters and say, "I will serve you before I serve myself." That's what marks you as a servant. To become a servant of God opens the doors for the Father to step into your life with power, with gifts of healing for your soul, for your mind, and for your body. This is the teaching that Jesus brings us today. He brings it to us because of his willingness to heal, because of his desire for us to receive good things from his Father's hands. Don't doubt that. Your Father very much desires to bless you with healings and good gifts from heaven. That's his heart, his character, and his nature. That's what he wants to do for you. I just want to keep the doors open to receive everything and come short in no gift. So I bring to the table my faith in Jesus and my desire to serve him until I'm finished with the work that God has set before me. I truly believe that I am immortal, that until God says come home, I am not going home. I am staying here until the work he has appointed to me is finished. I don't believe it's finished yet because I'm still here. When he calls, I'm leaving. Bring me back at your own peril. Consider that a final warning. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your willingness. To that, I want to add my faithfulness and my service to you. I am not counting on earning healing by serving you. I am simply throwing the doors open for you to do whatever you want to do in my life. I do not want to be the one that limits you in any way, because there are no limits on your power. Don't let me be that which limits the unlimitable. I want to receive every good and perfect gift from your hands. So, Father, make me a servant to you. Increase my faith and help me just to receive by that faith every good and perfect gift that you desire to rain down on me from heaven above and on these people who are hearing these words, on these servants of yours. Let your blessing lie, Father. I pray this now in the name of your Son, Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.